The Old Testament scripture lesson, I'm not sure which one is you're on, today is from 1 John 3, verse 17 and 18. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word and talk, but in deed and in truth. Amen. Thanks be to God. here we are. From this moment on, this is going to be a new first for this church. We're going to try a video presentation. And so with that, I want to introduce some very dear brothers and sister from Guatemala, David and Damaris Beam. I met them about 2008 in February when I went down there to ride in the motorcycles. And ever since then, we've been building houses and hanging out and going fishing together and so forth. He fishes, I just watch. Anyway, so at this time, we're going to have a little bit of paraphernalia adjustment, I guess, to see if we can get everything running. David and Damaris, would you come on up? And
One at a time.
Okay, you're running. See, this is the chain, the closer, as I said. He's going to come up and run the show. but anyway... they have been married for 33 years. They have two daughters and three grandchildren. They're just dear friends. I'll try and set up.
Buenos dias, hermana Esther, and everybody else. I tell you, bilingual church here. Incredible. Hey, how many of you like bargains? We went with Mike and Carol to Kohl's yesterday, and this is a good time to buy sweaters in Boise. And so I felt really good about getting just for a few dollars this sweater. It looks good, doesn't it? Why don't you look at the person next to you and say something nice like, your sweater looks good, or your shirt looks good? Kind of cheer each other up a little bit here. Bargains. I love bargains. And you know, the best bargain of all is the bargain that God gave us with our salvation. And it was free. This wasn't quite free, close, but Jesus came and took our place. And the salvation we have, that's a bargain when we accept it. I don't know why anybody would not accept that in eternal life. That's a bargain. That's worth more than all the money in the world. I like fishing. Actually, I like catching better than fishing. And we just came from Michigan, where my sister lives, and she has her own little private lake there, and the fishing is good. And yes, Mike and I, we go fishing together, and that's called a largemouth missionary. Ah, no, largemouth bass. Okay, let's see if we can make this work now. Okay. Well, listen, I've been a missionary for quite a while. Still have long hair, right? Still have hair. That's pretty good nowadays. Damaris and I got married 33 years ago in Guatemala. And it was a time of a civil war, a time when most missionaries had left Guatemala, but I wasn't going to leave Guatemala. And we got married in the Presbyterian Church, which was the first evangelical church in Guatemala. It was a large church behind the National Palace, and there was bombs going off in the city. There was a war going on. There was soldiers everywhere, and that's where we got married. Oh, I got it. Left? This is left, right? See, that proves it. I wish we would have had video back then. It was a really neat wedding. We had a lot of music, and her choir sang to us. And we worked in a place called the 4th of February, named after the date of the earthquake. And our whole ministry has been helping the poor in Guatemala. Blessed is he who considers the poor, for God will deliver him in his time of trouble. And you guys are an extension of what we do in Guatemala. Our first daughter, Sandy, was born in Guatemala, and she spoke Spanish before she spoke English, and Ruthie, our second daughter, did too. Well, it's funny how they've grown up so fast. That's Ruthie when she was young. And that's Ruthie now, and she's got her own little one named Elizabeth, and we were just there in Orlando and celebrating her first birthday. And that's our other daughter, Sandy, and her husband, and their two kids. And we were also celebrating, that's Isabella, who's 8, and Tyler, who just turned 5, and we were at his graduation, pre-kindergarten. It's, I think he's got a lot more graduations to face in life. This was a long time ago. When I first went to Guatemala, I've been in Guatemala 39 years. I went when I was 5 years old. That's me. That's the first house I built. Now, I'm not much of a carpenter, but that family along the tracks lived in a house much worse than that. Well, there's so much that we could talk about in all the years in Guatemala and the different things that have happened and the different ways that God has brought us out of trouble. I almost drowned in the ocean once. Our first trip driving from Guatemala to the United States after we got married, the bandidos almost got us. The guy that almost put a gun to my head and almost killed me and different things like that. But God has delivered us from a lot of trouble. Blessed is he who considers the poor, for God will deliver him in his time of trouble. Well, about 10 years ago, I was invited to one area of the railroad tracks, and I met this girl named Dina. And I went to her little house, which wasn't much of a house at all. It was a little shack, a little tin shack, and that was her little sister, Danita. And God really touched my heart. And it was a tiny little house, like a tin sauna bath, you know, and I could see through the holes in the wall what was happening next door because they were all connected. Now, this is along an abandoned railroad tracks. The train has not run in Guatemala for 25 years, so the very poor people set up their little shacks as squatters along the tracks. And I asked, is there somebody around here that can help me build a house for Danita, for Dina and Danita and their family? And I met Rolando. He was a drunken bum that got saved in the church by the tracks. His life was transformed, and he was a builder. He makes me feel tall. But he's a giant of a man, a prince of a man, and he's become my builder. And God put in my heart to build 50 houses. And the house that you guys are going to come down and help us build will be house number 35. So we're getting there. And the first house was for these two kids, they're Dina and Danita, and that yellow and blue house was the first house we built along the tracks before they lived in a house like the other one on the other side. And after building that house, we built a second one next to it, connected to it, and the third one. And by building those first three houses, I paid Brother Rolando, our builder, enough so that we could build the fourth house for him and his family. So that's what happens when you guys come down, you start building houses. And what a difference it makes for the families. I remember when I met this woman, Mariela, along the tracks. I looked at her and I had to blink because I was looking at my own daughter. And she lived in this crummy little shack and it was down low in the water. It was just flooding there. It rains half the year in Guatemala in the rainy season. And it was miserable. And that's how God did it, you know. There's a lot of people there that need help, but God would put in my heart certain people to build a house for. And she was very active in the church, and so we built one of the houses for her and made it so the rain wouldn't come in. And Julio This is an old picture of him, but he and his wife just passed away. She was a bedridden woman, but we made that house better for them later on. Lisbeth was a little deaf child there. When I first met her, I called her the wild child. She didn't understand things. She threw a tantrum for everything, but we helped her go to a special school. Today she's 15. She's tops in her school. I could never talk to her because I don't know sign language, but now we're on Facebook together. And she writes me, and I write back, and we've helped her for many years, and we built, I think it was the fifth house for that family, and that's where they live today along the tracks. So that's what it's all about. I call it the shack attack, helping them to live better. In our ministry, we have zeroed in on these people in one certain area of the railroad tracks, and we help the children go to the Christian school by the tracks and the church by the tracks. These little girls, it's kind of an interesting story because we built a home for them and their family. Their parents are very active in the church. And they had a TV set that blew out because before it was like a pirated electric in there. It was like a spider web of wires coming into the tracks. They stole electricity from another area, and it was an electrician's nightmare. And now, thankfully, the government has stepped in, and they all have electric meters and water, finally. They used to carry their water in. But these kids were sad because their TV blew out when the electricity was bad, and they liked to watch the Christian TV station. So one day, our builder, Rolando, said to me, "The kids are sad. Their TV blew out." And I thought, what does he want me to do? You know, I buy him a TV or something? And why are you telling me this? The same day, I got a letter, an email from a pastor's wife that said, "Our little daughter, 7 years old, has been saving her quarters for a year, and she has enough money, and she's requesting if you can buy a TV for a family at the tracks." Nobody has ever asked me in 39 years if I can buy a TV, and so that's how they got their TV now. God answered their prayers. Another house we built for Sonia and her family. Another house we built for this woman who's crippled. She's a widow, and she hobbles along, and she had polio and one, and she is always in pain. Well, her daughter, Gabi, her greatest desire, we've got her studying in a school in higher education now to learn English, and her greatest desire is to get a good job so she can help her mom. And they lived in a terrible little shack. Well, we built a house for them, too, and are helping them. And look at this motley crew. You know, it's amazing to me how God makes these connections. I call them God connections. We never thought we'd be in Boise. This must be the best place to be in the whole world today. The weather is like perfect today. What a blessing. We probably won't come back in December, but we're glad to be here today. It's like perfect. And I never even knew there about Boise or Idaho. How did this all happen, Mike? You know, it's a God connection. We don't go knocking on doors asking people to help our ministry. We let the Lord do it. And so it's so neat. And you guys, Mike has brought down teams to build different houses. And this last team, the last time we came, 3 years ago, we shared with the church our desire to build a school next to the church, the extension of the Christian school. And so in the last 2 years, instead of building shacks or houses for the shacks, we have built a four-story extension to the Christian school. The school has 225 kids, so they really needed the room. And the top floor is a big playground area about the size of the sanctuary, or bigger. And so you guys came 2 years ago to help us with the project. And one of the big things when you come down to Guatemala is not only building with cement blocks, but building relationships. And it's amazing. If you don't speak much Spanish, it doesn't matter. Hugging the kids, you know, the kids smile in the same language all over the world, and sharing God's love with them, it's an incredible thing. Incredible. Do you know some of these people? They love it when you bring pictures and show them what it's like at home. That's just walking along the tracks. It's just a narrow little area with shacks on both sides. And that's inside the school. The first floor of the extension we built, that's where the little kids are. And that was when the group came down 2 years ago to help us build, get it ready for the pouring the roof on the fourth floor. It's pretty high up there. A lot of cement in that project. That's looking down from up there at the shacks, and where those clothes are is a little lane that goes between the houses there. Look at that man there. With one hand, he's lifting up a block. That's what we have today. That's the fourth floor there. That's finished now, and now they've never had a place for the kids to play. It is so tight in there. There's no room. Now they have this big area for the kids to have their recreation. It's really exciting. And from here, Mike and Carol are going to drive us to Washington. We have never been to Washington, but we have a group of women that have come down now 3 years in a row from Washington, Walla Walla, Washington. I love that name, Walla Walla. That's cool. I have no idea where we're going, but Mike does. And when you travel with Mike, he's like a walking encyclopedia. Because I have traveled with Mike. He knows everything about everything around here. And it's amazing. And so I'm looking forward to that trip. And this is some of the ladies that came down. And they have come down to teach sewing. Teach the women on the tracks. They've given sewing machines to some of the women. And about 10 to the school to set up sewing classes. And that's what we're going to be doing, talking to them about that. And look, I mean, that top floor is a beautiful place to do activities like that. This was just recently. That's Danita, 2 years ago. Now she's 16. She says she's my secretary on the tracks. And so I Facebook her all the time with messages, you know, find this out for me, find that out. And that's the pastor of the church there, Walter. He and his family began the church there at the tracks, and we've joined hands with them. We really don't feel like God has sent us to Guatemala to start something new, rather to help those who are doing it. That's in the church, which is a happy church. And when you come to Guatemala and you're in a church service with us, you can't leave the church without being hugged by all the people in the church. It's just what you have to do. The pastor's daughter, Raquel, who works full-time in the church, that's her little daughter. And that's Dina, who I especially wanted to show this picture. Dina, the first girl I met along the track, she's 21 now. She's married to the pastor's son. They have a little child. And we just finished an apartment on the fourth floor of that building where they live above the church now. And she is teaching in the computer class. And Jeff and his family have helped Dina for years to go through school and then to go to culinary school as well. And now she's actually teaching computers in the computer class. And one of the really exciting things now is that we're talking with Mike and Rick about helping their computer class and making better computers and getting some monitors for them, and that's really cool. We also have not only the shock attack, but we got the plaque attack, where we've been helping the kids with their dental needs, and we've helped around 15 or 20 kids, I guess, to have braces now, including Emily, who I call Little Miss Guatemala. There's some of the kids we've been helping with braces. And the next house we build is going to be at the end of July with a team from Pennsylvania, and it's for these kids. That's what it's all about, coming down and hugging kids, sharing the love of Jesus. There's nothing better. Somebody came, I think it was a doctor one time, was visiting us, and he said, "You got the best job in the world, just hugging kids, you know?" I hope, you know, in my tombstone. Why am I talking about tombstones in a funeral parlor? You know, there's a date on the tombstone, and the most important thing that happens is that part in the dash, you know, that's to that dash. But I hope that on mine it's written something like, "He loved the children," something like that. Because our ministry throughout all these years has been helping the children to know Jesus, to grow up, get an education to better their lives. We have 3 feeding centers we work with. So when you come, we'll probably take you to one of the feeding centers. We work with a missionary family that he was a pastor down in Florida that came down to visit us and was overwhelmed and left the pastorate to come and with his wife and two daughters to work with us. They work across the street where we work, and they're making inroads there. That's their daughter, Megan. Blessed is he who considers the poor, for he will deliver him or her in a time of trouble. Megan, 1 year ago, from a height of this top, the higher part of the fireplace, fell through a skylight in a house backwards. She passed out as she fell backwards when the skylight broke. She hit first, there was a laundry room down below. It was in a house, three-story house, and she hit first the cupboards in the laundry room and bounced off them, and then bounced off the washing machine and hit on the floor. When her parents rushed in there, she was unconscious. There was a gash in her head. Her blonde hair was just covered with blood. This picture was taken after that happened. She should not have lived. I don't know how she was even alive. But when she came to, at first she couldn't talk. She could only groan. The paramedics got there, and her father kept trying to talk to her in English and all. And one of the paramedics finally said, ¿Cuántos dedos tengo acá? And she answered in Spanish. Her dad knew her brain was okay, that she was, I mean, she could have been paralyzed. It ended up she had to have some screws put in certain areas in her back, but she's 100% normal again, and that's her now. And she and her family work in this new area of the tracks, and we're helping them, and we're starting to build houses there and bringing light into the darkness. They built a house for a pastor and his wife down the tracks there. That's her sister, Emma. And a wonderful family that's working with us. You know, if you come down to Guatemala, it's kind of, something happens, right, Mike? Mike knows you just, the people grip your heart. And there's me along the tracks with a bunch of kids. And that's the same wife that I married in the beginning there. She hasn't changed much, only for the better. And Domrice and I are so glad to be here this morning and share just a little bit about our ministry. We're excited about the group coming down in October and what God's going to do. We're excited about this church and what's happening here. This is an exciting church here. Praise God. And so I want Domrice to come up and on that first trip we took to the United States, and for quite a while after, I had to translate. But she's learned English pretty well. And I know it's not easy for her to sing in English, but she does pretty good. And I'm so glad that you can meet my wife, Domrice, and that she's going to share what's in her heart.
Thank you. Well, it's like David said, it's really good to be back. It's really good to see that God is doing new things among you. You're in a new place, and this is not your destiny. There's more coming. So we should be excited for that because, you know, God takes us in different places and seasons. And as I was looking at the pictures, I realized that, you know, especially my hair. It has changed a lot of hairstyles, you know. I'm like, yeah, geez, I've been through a lot of changes. But one of the best things that I can share with you is that my heart is not the same. Every day it's better and newer because that's the way it is with Christ. Yes or no? Isn't that the truth? Looking back into these pictures, I can remember when 35 years ago I answered to the Lord after so many years of Him chasing me, you know, with His love. And I said, Lord, I will serve You. I will love You. I don't know what I can do. I grew up like a lot of these kids here, you know, with in a level of poverty and without running water, without electricity and all the stuff. And sometimes you think that's just normal. And you think you're poor. And then God shows you somebody that needs you more needs, you know, more than you do. And then you realize that God is saying, I want you to do something. So I'm like, what can I do? And I am very privileged that God has allowed me to serve him in my country and make a difference with some people. I realize that I'm not always in the pictures with the kids when they're building and others, because the call in my heart has always been to rebuild inside the hearts of the people. Most of what I do is with teaching, training, discipling, you know, preaching the word, singing, and letting people know, like Isaiah 61 says, you know, that we rebuild the ruins. And sometimes a lot of these people don't have dreams. Their destinies, you know, their lives have been shattered, and they don't think they can come out of this situation they are in. And I truly believe that the most important part beyond, you know, building a home, a physical home for them, is to let them know that there's always hope. There's always something in Christ. Christ will always have a new life, a new dream, a new destiny. And that's what I like to do. I love to go with people like Dina and Danita and others and remind them, this is not it for you. There is more. God always has more for us. And it's beyond our lifestyle, beyond our, you know, our level of, I don't know, wealth. And God does something, you know. And I love to see the kids not only going to school, but saying, I'm going to be a doctor. God is going to help me to be a lawyer. Well, I don't know if they want to be lawyers, but, I, you know, stuff like that. They have a purpose. They have a destiny just because they have Christ. And I truly believe that that's the most important part, don't you think? So with your help and everybody else, you know, we all belong to the same kingdom, belong to the same Savior. We are his kids. And I have learned all these years that true missions are just, it's very simple. It's showing the heart of the Father to them. The first missionary on earth, it was Jesus Christ. He came, he was sent to show us, to reveal to us the heart of the Father, his love, his purpose for us. And now we can do the same. We can do the same. And in social work and all the things we do, they are tools. But I think that beyond that, we can remind them and let them know that there is always something better. Can you say that? There's always something better. Look inside your heart and say, there is always something better. This is not it. Man, if I could only have more time to share a lot of experiences, but when God called me 35 years ago, and I said, okay, Lord, I really want to serve you. I want to help you. My parents were pastors for many years. And the last thing I really had in my plan was to be involved in ministry. That was the last thing in my list. I'm like, I'm out of here. I'm out of church. I'm out of the ministry, you know, trying to be the pastor's kid, the perfect kid that everybody wants to, you know, to do the best. And I was so tired of that. I'm being honest here, in case you don't know. And I said, okay, Lord, you know, I just had my plans, had my life built up and everything, you know, defined and decided, you know, and then God comes with his love and hits me in such a way that I knew that there was no other thing but to give him all. And when I said all, he had other plans that I would never dream. I mean, if you would have told me that 35 years later I was going to be in Idaho somewhere speaking another language, I would have probably passed out right there. In my plans, I thought, who wants to learn English? It's so hard. That's not for me. Okay, you know, so living, traveling, why? On the plane, you know, I would look up and sometimes, you know, see him and I'm like, wow, that's not for me. Here I am. been in quite a few countries myself, and when I met David, you know, that was another thing. I said, Lord, you know, I will serve you, and I know there is, you know, a husband for me, and please, please, I don't want to marry somebody involved in ministry. Don't let it be a missionary or a pastor or anything. We've done all that together. And we're still here, stronger than ever, because God is the center of our lives. And it's just an adventure. I never, never in my whole life dream about all the stuff David and I've been together, you know, through together in 35 years. But the best part of everything is that after all that time, probably today more than 35 years ago, I'm more, what would be the word? I know that I know that I know that I'm right at the place God wants me to be. And there's more beyond our dreams that God wants us to do. And when I think about how the Lord Jesus Christ performed his ministry, you know, as a missionary, I can learn a lot. And you and I can do the same, because guess what? You are a missionary too. We all are. We all represent a kingdom that is beyond this earth and beyond the things that we worry about, you know. And I was sharing with Jeff, right, that our church did all this for like 6 years, you know, back and forth. The praise and worship especially are the ones that do all the sound and everything. And praise God, we got our place today, and we have so many things that we can share with the world, that there is light, because the light is in us. And I don't know if you thought about it, but we are light in the midst of the darkness. And God, Jesus Christ, is life in us. And look at where he brought you to. This place is a place where with death, it's the everyday topic. But yet you're here with light and true light and life. And that's exactly who we are in the midst of this world. And as long as there's light, there's hope. As long as there is life, there's hope. So as long as we are here representing our Father, there is hope. Let us really, really live for him every day in such a moment. Don't let your Christian life become a routine. Let it burn inside you. Let the Holy Spirit use you in such a way that even if you're not in Guatemala, but you're here, we can make a difference. Do you believe that? Yes. Amen. Oh, man, I've said more than I thought I was going to. So right now, I just want to, and I wrote it all here, and I didn't use my notes. That's pretty good for me. You have no idea what it means for me to be sharing in another language. But this is the scripture I just wanted to read to you, and said, someone came to the Lord and asked him, Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And a second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. And then the Lord himself said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, and if you have love for one another. So we're not called to do much but love one another. And sometimes we spend so much time trying to convince people of true love, and all we're called to do is just show it. And let the Holy Spirit do that in our lives, to bring that conviction in our hearts that the reason why people knew that Jesus was different and there was something different about him, it's just because the way he was, the way he talked, the way he expressed, you know, the Father's heart to the people, to the ones in need. And I really pray that that's exactly what the world can see in our lives today. Amen. Let me share it in this song. Lord. Thank you.
There's a call going out across the land in every nation. A call to all who swear allegiance to the cross of Christ. A cry to true humility, to live our lives responsibly, to deepen our devotion to the cross at any price. Let us then be sober, moving only in the Spirit, as aliens and strangers in a hostile foreign land. The message we're proclaiming is repentance and forgiveness, the offer of salvation to the dying race of men. To love the Lord our God is the heartbeat of our mission, the spring from which our service overflows. Across the streets or around the world, the mission's still the same. Proclaim and live the truth in Jesus' name.
Do you believe that?
As a candle is consumed by the passion of the flame.
I'm sorry.
Spilling light unsparingly throughout a darkened room. Let us learn to know Him deeper than our service flaming bright. We'll radiate His passion in blaze with holy light. To love the Lord our God is the heartbeat of our mission, the spring from which our service overflows. Across the streets or around the world, the mission's still the same. Proclaim and lead the truth in Jesus' name. To love the Lord our God is the heartbeat of our mission, the spring from which service overflows. Across the street or around the world, the mission's still the same. Proclaim and live the truth in Jesus' name. Oh Lord, let us love you in such a way that it burns so deep in our hearts that the world can truly see you in us. Amen.